Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're talking to a fellow who I consider one of my most favorite teachers of all time at Jessamine County High School. His name is John Herod, and he contributed greatly to our school system. We'll talk to him about his life right after this word from one of our fine sponsors here at Jess FM.
It's just an ordinary day, then the doorbell makes it extraordinary with a delivery from Nicholasville Florist and Gifts. I'm Bobby.
And I'm Kelly. All our flowers, plants, and gifts are delivered on time and as beautiful as we'd want for ourselves.
Our flowers are fresh daily and arranged when you order. You can call or visit our website.
But please come in. You can see our selection of silks and decorations
and gifts for the person who has everything at 206 South Main Street, Nicholasville, Martha's Vineyard, Nicholasville, Florist and Gifts.
Since 1951, we've been making ordinary days
extraordinary.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday as we continue to learn more about people, places, and things of Jessamine County. Today we're going to talk to a fella who I have probably now for about 3 years been aggravating to do this program. And there's a reason, but because not only do I consider him as a friend and he had an interesting story, but I consider him, and I don't know if I've ever told you this, but if I had to name top three teachers I ever had, he certainly would be one of them. John Herod, good morning.
Good morning and thank you.
Glad that you're here today as we talk a little bit about what you have done in your life. You, not only teaching, but have been involved in coaching, administration at the schools, and even playing. We'll go back years before that at the old Jessamine County High. I guess the best way to start is to tell us how you got started. Tell us who your parents were, where you were born, and how you grew up and got to Jessamine County.
I was born in Louisville, and my parents were John and Mary Herod. My father was a Greyhound bus driver, and my mother was a registered nurse. And when I was 9 years old, my dad had a severe heart attack and had to retire from Greyhound, could not drive anymore. And we had relatives that lived here. He had two brothers and a sister who lived here.
Here in Jessamine County?
Here in Nicholasville, yeah. He was originally from Jessamine County.
Okay, so your dad's family was here before he went to Louisville?
Yes.
All right. Have they been here a long time?
My grandfather's farm was where Coles is.
Really?
Yes.
Now, eventually, before Coles came along.
The Combs owned it.
Yes. And there was a pretty big old house there.
Yes.
Did your grandfather own that?
No, I think that the old house had burned down before I was born.
Okay.
My parents died. My grandparents died before I was
okay.
born. So I never did know them.
But they had that farm.
They had that farm.
So did your dad go to Louisville to specifically work for Greyhound?
Yes.
So that's how he ended up there.
You know, back then, he was born in 1899, so the times were pretty tough, and he went to try to help support the family.
Okay. Now, was your mother from where?
She was from Smith's Grove, a little town about 10 miles from Bowling Green.
That's a whole different direction. How did they hook?
Well, where we lived in Louisville, the bus garage, the garage part, was only about a block away.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother had graduated nurse's training from Jewish Hospital, which was a block away in the other direction.
Okay.
So they met there.
All right. I see. So if he had never gone to Louisville to work.
Right. He'd never met my mother.
Never met. All right. So you're born in Louisville.
Yes.
Now, he has the heart attack. Is she working as a nurse at this time?
She didn't work, but occasionally.
Yeah.
She stayed with me. And then we eventually moved to Nicholasville. And when he became disabled, and then she had to start her practice nursing.
Okay. Down here.
Right. Well, she worked at the hospitals in Lexington.
How old would you have been when they came down here?
Well, I was 9 years old when we moved to Nicholasville.
Oh, right after his heart attack. So other than the first 9 years, you've been here all the rest of your life?
Oh, yes.
In the Jessamine County school system.
Right.
Now, you're an only child.
Right.
Did you, and I'll start with the sports because I know you were so involved in high school. Mm. Did you really get involved in sports as soon as you came here, or had you already been in Louisville involved in sports?
No, I hadn't been in any sports in Louisville at all.
So when you moved here, though.
We used to play a lot of black backyard stuff, but there wasn't anything really for the young kids to play.
Nothing organized yet.
Nothing organized. The first year of organized baseball, I believe it was 1959, mm-hmm. when it started up Little League. And I was 12 years old, so that was the last year of Little League. So I got to play 1 year of Little League. We had four teams. I was on Herbert Royce's team beat Royce's father's
Pete's dad.
And then there was three other teams. Joe Darty had a team. I believe he had the Yankees. And I believe Earl Hall had a team. He had the Tigers. And then Howard Curry, Teeter, had the Cubs.
Those four teams started it out.
Those four teams started out. And we played where Cook Lane is, down below the football field.
What is now West Jessamine High, old Jessamine County High.
Right.
And it's where the maintenance
complex is
new
now.
Building is.
Right, that's
Cook,
where we played.
So that was the first place. And eventually, I guess, they moved up the hill to Jessamine County High and played on those fields.
Right.
But before, it was down there.
Right.
Now, you played 1 year of Little League.
1 year of Little League. And then the very next year, they started up Babe Ruth League.
So you were able to keep going.
I was able to keep going and playing that.
Who was your coach then?
Sam Sternberg was the first coach.
Yeah.
And it ended up with Tommy Thornton, Thornton's daddy. And we started off playing up at the old American Legion Park.
Okay.
At the end of Lake Street. And then eventually we played our last 2 years out at the high school on the high school field.
Which now is the field for the West Jessamine Colts.
Correct.
So you played baseball. Now, at some point in time, you got in football, correct?
Oh, yeah. I started playing football when I was a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
There was no Little League football. There was no junior varsity
football.
Oh,
you just started high school.
Yeah, there was nothing but high school. I weighed 120 pounds, so I got knocked around quite a bit. We only had about 23 or 24 people on the team.
Was Elmer the coach?
Elmer was coach, yes.
And I'm assuming then, was Billy Lockridge the principal?
He was our principal, yes.
He was your principal at Jessamine County High.
Right.
By this time, folks, Wilmore High and Nicholasville High had consolidated.
Right.
And it became Jessamine County, which is now the West Jessamine High building.
I was in the second class to go all 4 years at Jessamine County High School.
Okay. So that's when you played your football.
Right.
Never played before.
No.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but now that's the sport you excelled at.
Well, that was my best sport, yes.
Yeah. Did you play any other besides those two, the baseball and football?
No.
Okay. And did you continue to play baseball in high school?
I played 1 year of baseball in high school, and then I just played the Babe Ruth League. You could play until you were 15,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't turn 17 years old until after football season my senior year, so I was pretty young coming through school.
So you figured out football, this is my sport.
Yeah.
This is the one that I really, I assume, enjoy doing.
Right.
I'm good at it, and you were, because you won awards that proved that.
Well, it took a while. I went from 120 pounds to 140 pounds to 160 to 185 my senior year. So I grew quite a bit over those years.
And over those years, and I know you can't reach everybody, but just mention some of the people that are around here that you may have played with.
Oh, goodness, a lot of them have passed away. I can tell you our starting offensive team on my senior year, Randy Anderson, who's no longer with us, was an end. Tommy Cox, he was our strong side tackle. Donnie Welch was a guard. Tommy Winburn was a guard. And probably the hardest position on the team to play, whereas he had to snap the ball back, one of two people, and he had his head between his legs, so he got beat up quite a bit, was C.B. Thompson.
Oh, really?
C.B. was our center.
I didn't know that, and I don't know that I ever would have guessed that. If you had said, guess who our center was, I don't think C.B. would ever have come to my mind.
Yeah, C.B. was our center.
Man.
And he and I were best friends.
Yeah.
Going through school, he was my best friend, best man at my wedding. And then Jim Bailey was our left tackle. And I think James Morgan Staten,
right.
And Glenn Teeter played the left end. And in the backfield, I played blocking back. Junior Jones, who's no longer with us,
Junior.
He played fullback. He won the scoring race our junior year. And then Robert Drakeford, who's no longer with us, played tailback. And a guy by the name of Stevie Davis played wingback. He had moved in here. His parents were missionaries in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd moved in here from Africa and never played football in his life before, and he played wingback for us.
Wow.
He was a junior that year.
Now, that year, and you mentioned Donnie Welch, and not long ago, as you know, we put on our Facebook page a picture that had Elmer Stevenson, who was named Coach of the Year that year, CKC Coach of the Year, I think.
I believe so.
Also in that picture was Jimmy Wells, who was the booster president.
Right.
But there was you and Donnie Welch.
Right.
You guys won some pretty good awards that particular year. I'm sure you won some of the others, but that year you shined.
Well, the picture that you had was the football banquet in 1963 when we were seniors. And Donnie Welch got most valuable lineman, and I got most valuable back. And I also got most valuable player. In addition to that, Donnie and I got second team All-State in Class A in one paper. And then there was three of us that made honorable mention All-State. And I think it was the Lexington paper. And that was Junior Jones and Donnie and I.
Junior Jones, he was a force to be reckoned with.
Oh, absolutely. He was more or less the star of the team. Either the year before or 2 years before, he won the CKC scoring race. We played Paris, and Easy were either tied or maybe a little bit behind a guy by the name of Guy Ormsby from Paris. And we only had 19 people eligible for the game. And I happened to be, I weighed 140 pounds that year. And I was started at a defensive tackle. And it had rained all day, and it was just absolutely cold. And Junior scored a couple of touchdowns and ended up beating Guy Ormsby for the scoring race. And we ended up beating Paris.
We're going to get into this probably down the road in the timeline, but I would assume that your love of playing that game is what led you down the road to eventually coach that team.
Yes.
On down. All right, so we've got you as a senior in high school. You graduate, and you decide, I'm assuming, to go to college.
Yes.
Where did you go?
I started my freshman year, and it was to play football at center.
Oh, yeah, in Danville.
So I played my freshman year over there, which was a really good experience. I mean, I'd playing some college ball and getting to go to different states.
Right.
Playing different schools.
Right.
We even flew to one of our games, even though we were a small school. Center at the time was, I think our enrollment was about the same or maybe even a little less than what Jessamine County High School was.
Really small.
But Center had a very rich football tradition.
Right.
And at one time, back in the 20s, they were ranked number one in the country.
Wow.
They'd beaten Harvard 6-0, which is, I think, is still supposed to be the largest upset in college football ever. We had Saturday classes over there, and we'd leave for Friday on Friday morning for some of the games, so we'd miss classes, and I really didn't know how to study, so I ended up transferring to the Eastern after my stay at Center and did not go back out for football.
When you went to Center to play football, did you declare a major at that time?
No.
Okay, so you didn't know what you wanted to do.
Absolutely
right.
Not.
You ended up, though, transferring to Eastern,
right,
which was known, especially back then, as the teacher's college.
Right.
When you went to EKU, is that what encouraged you to become active in education?
Well, actually, I was an industrial education major over there.
Okay.
So you had two paths you could go. You could either go to industry or you could get a teaching certificate. I wasn't real sure, but my sophomore year of college, I was a lifeguard at what's now the windmill.
The windmill pool.
Or the windmill
pool. Yeah, and friends, for those that don't know where the windmill is, if you go up 27 right past where you turn onto Vince Pike, there's Stokely Marines. It's up kind of in that area is where it was.
I taught a swimming class of 9-year-olds. And had one little boy, he could swim like a fish if he had his mask on.
Yeah.
Take his mask off, he'd sink like a rock. Don't know why, but anyway, I was so proud of those kids. They jumped off the board and swam to the middle of the pool to me.
Yeah.
To finish it up. And that's really what got me interested in teaching.
Oh, really?
I said, well, I love this. So I went on and got my teaching certificate along with the industrial ed, which I really loved, the drafting.
Right.
My high school teacher was Clyde Crabb, and he eventually came back and was head of the industrial ed department at Eastern.
Oh, he was?
Yeah,
you knew him?
Oh, yeah. After I graduated from high school, he went to Texas A&M and got his doctor's degree and came back and became head of that department.
So you get through Eastern. You have become certified to teach industrial arts.
Right.
Yes. Am I at a point before or after that you've met the boss of the household, Miss Julia? Where did she come in all this?
Just before I graduated.
Okay. You met a girl from here, correct?
Right.
From Nicholasville, whose dad was an electrician.
Right.
And we're talking about Harrison and Jean McMillan's daughter. And, of course, Jean did some work as a realtor in our county for many years.
Correct.
So just exactly how did you two meet?
We actually met through mutual friends, Tommy and Cheryl Leach. They lived right around the corner from Harrison and Jean and Julia, of course. And one afternoon, I stopped in to see Tommy. And Julia happened to be there talking to Cheryl. And, of course, they introduced us. And the first time we went out, well, we went to a movie with Tommy and Cheryl. And the rest was pretty much history. 1973, we got married, and this past June was our 45th anniversary.
Who, if you, I'm going off on a path here, but it reminded me. So tell me how you got a job with Jessamyn County High School.
I graduated in January of 1970 and had interviewed with some people from Jacksonville, Florida, and had an offer from them. And I was driving home one day, and I thought, you know, I'll go by the high school just in case and talk to the principal. I went out there and I talked to Mr. Blankenship. I'd never met Mr. Blankenship.
Zeb Blankenship was already there.
And he told me that his ADA, the average daily attendance, was up, and he was probably going to be able to get another teacher.
Yeah.
And he wanted to get an industrial ed teacher. So I just really, really got lucky.
Got lucky.
And so, as it were, then he hired me, and I started teaching in January.
Was there already an industrial arts teacher at the school at the time?
Yes.
Who was that have been?
Jim McDaniels was his name.
Okay, he would have taught. Did he teach it all, shop drafting, everything?
Yes.
When you came in and was hired by Zeb Blankenship, was it mainly for drafting?
We started up some new classes. Yes, mainly the drafting classes. Yeah. Jim didn't like drafting.
Yeah.
So he let me have the drafting classes, and he started up some more woodworking classes.
Right.
He liked the woodworking classes.
Now, folks, this was a period in time. It's kind of like this radio show we do. You know, back in the old days of radio, I would have recorded all this on reel-to-reel tape, and if you wanted to edit, you'd have to use a razor blade to cut the tape and splice it and all this. Back in those days, that was not the time where you got on a computer and used CAD programs to design things. This is when you actually sat down with a pencil and a paper, and if you wanted a blueprint, you had to use the ammonia to get it printed. This was those days, the lost art, I like to say, of that kind of thing. So you do that program. You also did electricity too, didn't you?
Right. When you're an industrial tech major, you come out able to teach various different subjects. Graphic arts, woodworking, electricity, metals.
So you had all that?
Yes.
Well, heck, you and your father-in-law got along just fine then.
Oh, yeah,
didn't you? He was an electrician.
Right. I helped him quite a bit.
You met, and I want to focus a little more now on your family. You met Julia. You all got married. As we said, Julia, the daughter of Harrison and Jean McMillan. Now, she had a brother,
Steve,
who we just lost in the past year or so.
Right.
Was it just those two?
Just the two.
Okay. Right. Steve, of course, married one of Letch Watts' daughters,
right.
Sherry. But you and Julia marry and at some point decide that it's time for you to have a family. So we're going to take just a few minutes, brag on your two girls and these grandkids you talk about. Olivia is the oldest, right?
She's our oldest daughter. She was born in 1976.
And then what has she been doing? What's she into now?
She's with Don Franklin.
Uh-huh.
It used to be Glenn.
Yeah.
Auto Mall, but now it's Don Franklin.
Yeah.
And she's in the finance department
at
Don Franklin and has been there for a number of years.
Was she on the UK dance team or something like that? Yeah.
Well, and they performed at the for the Thoroughblades.
Oh, okay.
The hockey team.
Yeah, the hockey team.
At halftime.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Between periods.
And then your youngest daughter. Now, I remember when this one was born.
I think I had you in class.
You absolutely did. And I can tell you what, folks, he may not admit it, but I don't know that I've ever seen a man more nervous. I remember that day as well as I do today. A man so nervous as he was the day that Emily was born. Your youngest daughter. And first off, does Olivia have kids?
She has two boys.
She's got two. And who are what's their names?
Brody and Bo.
Okay. And how old are they?
They are 6 and 8.
Oh, wow. Young kids.
And Olivia's married to Chauncey Tudor. I don't think I mentioned.
We didn't, but we should. Now, Emily, tell us about her and what she's been doing and who she's married to and her kids.
She's married to Jeremy Horn. And she has her own hair salon.
She does.
I think as you well know.
She does.
And she has two boys, Hayden and Sam.
Yeah.
They are 13 and 7. So I've got 6, 7, 8, and then 13.
Wow. And Hayden, I'll have to say, because I know he'll be listening, he's one of our most loyal audience members at our old-time radio shows. He loves to come see him, and we appreciate him coming.
Hey, he's a really good boy.
Yeah. And Emily's pretty good. I mean, she's a pretty good girl. every once in a while. And I only say that because I know her as well as I do. Yeah, not long ago, I'll tell you this story. I had dropped my youngest daughter off. She wanted to get some hair coloring done. She's just turned 15, and I dropped her off to your daughter's. And I had things I need to do. And I'm like, how long is this going to take? And all this kind of stuff. And finally, I looked at Emily. I said, I'll tell you what, if I don't come back in an hour and a half, you just take her home with you and take care of her. And I said, and she's like, no, I've got boys. And I said, just ask your dad. I said, he raised at least one good girl. And I walked out. Well, she didn't know who I was talking about, but I left her wondering. Anyway, think a lot of your two girls.
I'm very proud of both of them.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got a family established. You've got these two girls that you're raising, and you're teaching at Jessamine County High. When you were teaching industrial arts, you said, and you had drafting and electricity and whatever need to be taught in that area. At what point in time did you become involved with the football program as a coach?
My very first year teaching. I started in January, of course. We didn't have anything. And lo and behold, the first year I started teaching was when we had a teacher strike. I think I taught for maybe a month, and then we had a teacher strike. But
yeah.
But anyway, that was when Ray Hager became head coach, and he made me an assistant. Mm-hmm. So 70-71 was my first year of coaching. I was assistant on the varsity and head freshman coach, or the freshman coach. And I was able to do that because at the time, the middle school, the junior high, whatever we had it called back then, was on double sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So I practiced with the high school in the afternoons. Then mm-hmm. I picked up a bus and practiced with the freshmen at night.
So you're helping Ray.
Right.
Coach. And did that for several years?
Right.
At what point in time, though, did you become head coach?
Well, after that, Frank became head coach.
All right.
He followed Ray.
Yeah.
And I was Frank's assistant all the way through until Frank became principal. When he became principal, of course, he had to give up coaching.
Yeah.
And that's when I was head coach.
We were just talking about that, too, and we figured up Zeb Blankenship would have retired, I guess, the spring of 81 would have been his last.
He didn't actually retire. He went over to the Board of Education.
Oh, okay.
And was director of, I think, maintenance.
Well, okay, I'll rephrase. He quit being principal
right
in the spring of 81. When Zeb moved to that position, Frank then became principal
right
of Jessamine County High.
Right.
You were his assistant.
Right.
So with him being coach and your assistant, and your coach, he's assistant, tell me about some big memorable wins that you may have had.
Well, the first time we went to the playoffs, we played Fort Thomas Highlands, and they beat us pretty badly. We went up there and spent the night. But anyway, they beat us pretty badly. But at least it gave us a taste of the playoffs. Then I believe it was the following year, may have been the year after that. We played Erlanger Lloyd first round, and they were heavily favored over us. And we beat them down there on our home field. An interesting satellite is their coaches came to us after the game and wanted to use the phone. They said they had to make a long-distance phone call. They were canceling their reservations for the next week because we'd beat them. we were the ones that were going to be going rather than them. But that was our first really big win. And then when I was head coach, we beat Madison Central 21-18. It was next to last play of the game. There was about 6 seconds left, I think. They were undefeated, and they were a step above us in grade. But we beat them 21-18 on our home field, and we were big-time underdogs. That was the second. And then the third one was after I'd gone back to my classroom, and I was defensive coordinator for Frank. And we went up and beat Tace Creek on Roy Walton's. That was his last game.
Oh, yeah?
We beat them, and then we went and played Boone County. We played Boone County 2 years in a row when Sean Alexander, who went on to be All-American at Alabama and All-Pro with the Seattle Seahawks. He played for the Boone County those 2 years that we played them in the playoffs. Yeah. And we gave them really good games.
Those are the big wins.
Those are the three big ones that I remember. And then Wes Johnson came back and beat Boyle County when he was head coach. And Wes was quarterback of the team when we beat Tate's Creek.
Okay, yeah, and then came back to be head coach.
Right, came back to be head coach.
But when you played Tate's Creek, you were playing as Jessamine County High, right?
Right, that's correct.
He came back to be coach of West Jessamine.
That's correct.
Yeah. Now, I remember Frank stayed for, I think you said, 2 or 3 years.
He was principal for three years.
But then you all flipped. All of a sudden, we find out that Frank, well, let me explain this. You're the head football coach while he's principal. Was he your assistant football coach?
No.
Okay.
No, no.
He wasn't involved.
When you're principal, you don't have time.
You don't have time. Okay. So, but then 3 years later.
You really don't as assistant either.
But you did it. So 3 years later, though, you became principal.
Right.
He became assistant. Is that right?
Right.
And went back to coaching football.
Right. He wanted
was
to get
that,
back in coaching.
Was that why? Was that why that you all did that?
Yeah. He wanted to get back in coaching. And at the time, we had that massive construction project going on.
Right.
We had 75,000 square feet in our old high school.
Yeah.
And we were adding 70,000 square feet. So we were at construction going on all the
way
around.
You were doubling size.
Frank didn't like that. He didn't like fooling with the construction window. And he wanted to get back in coaching.
Yeah.
So he got back in coaching and I became principal.
Was it? Did you two work that out? And did you two go to Buddy Adams and it was superintendent time and say, hey, we got a deal for you? Or how did that come about?
Well, at that time, Frank just wanted to go back and become coaching again. It wasn't Mr. Adams. That's when.
Oh, Buddy had already gone by that time.
Yeah, Buddy.
Okay.
Had retired.
Okay.
Dr. Donald Markin.
Yeah.
Was superintendent at the time.
Right. All right. So and so this just made it a whole lot easier.
Yeah. Well, so I had a little bit of a construction background.
Right.
And of course, they taught the drafting. So we went with a construction manager. So you had to be pretty heavily involved.
Yeah.
With what was going on to begin with.
What year did you retire?
I retired in 1997.
That was when the school split.
I retired a year before they split.
Before they split and became East and West. So you were at the school when the, what they called a straight line win went through, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Which has now been confirmed.
Right.
All these years later, finally, has been confirmed what we all knew was a tornado. Mm. Were you there when that happened?
Emily was still in school. She and I were on our way to school, and we were right in front of what's now Dunbar.
Okay.
So we hadn't even gotten to school yet when it hit.
When it hit.
So we weren't in the building.
Man, did you know that something had happened? Or?
Oh, yeah, because I thought it was going to turn the truck over. I mean, we were sitting there, Emily, scared to death.
Did you go on to the school, and then that's when you saw?
No, we had to stop in the traffic
and go
all the wind and everything.
And then you started hearing about all this.
Yeah, and then we went on to school, of course.
So you got to see it pretty soon after.
Oh, yeah. We went on to school.
Folks, I know there's a lot of pictures, and we have pictures on our Facebook page that Terry Leach was able to afford. She was a teacher at that time.
Right.
That, you talk about a scary time. I think there are some, but I don't think as a whole this county realizes how lucky we were that day that we didn't have mass casualties. That was with seconds. Seconds could have mattered in that situation. A scary, scary time. You weren't principal at that time, though.
No. Yeah. I'd gone back to my classroom.
Back to your classroom.
And before we get too much farther, let's go back to my years of administration.
Mm-hmm.
When I was assistant principal and principal, when I became principal, first thing I did was hire a lady for assistant principal, who was Pat Nielsen.
Oh, yeah.
Pat Nielsen was a big part of both mine and Frank's administration.
Yeah.
She was our in-school suspension teacher when Frank was principal.
Yeah.
And then she became my assistant and was assistant after that.
Nice lady.
But I'd have to mention Pat.
Well, of course.
We were like brothers and sisters.
Sure.
We were a family.
And mentioning that, you said early on in the interview, C.B. Thompson, you were close to and all. You and Frank were pretty daggone tight.
Oh, we were like brothers. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we coached together for all those years. We're in administration together all those years.
Yeah.
And then even when I went back to my classroom, I started coaching again with Frank.
Mm-hmm.
He talked me into coming back and coaching.
And a prime example of a man dying too young.
Yes.
We lost Frank. How old was he? You remember?
70.
70, but still.
Yeah.
Still too young.
And it was seemed to be very sudden.
Yes, it was. And the outpouring, I remember when they had his visitation in the gymnasium.
Right.
The outpouring and the people. It's just, Frank was just a one-of-a-kind guy.
He was that. Well, we'd not only spend all day together at school, but even when we get home at night, we'd call one another and talk about football. So we were very close.
You got out in 97, just decided that was enough?
Yeah, that was enough.
I mean, you had run the gamut. You had taught. You had coached. You had been principal, assistant principal. I mean, you, short of being superintendent, you did it all.
Well, I did quite a bit, yeah.
Miss it?
Quite a bit of different things. No, not really. Not, I enjoyed those years, but times began to change. And as you get older, you get to be a little bit burned out and tired. So I can't say enough about the years that I was there. And I'd like to thank all the kids that, yeah, I call them kids, you know, like you're a kid, that took my classes and played football when I was coaching, and just to allow me to have a small part of your all's lives. I really appreciate that and made lasting friendships like ours with an awful lot of kids.
You know, when I got to high school, because of what my dad did, it was just automatic that I was going to take drafting.
Right.
I never had the talent that Howard Fain had, ever. The only people ask me if I can draw, the only thing I can draw is a paycheck.
Mm.
But I could do that.
Right.
The mechanical drawing I could do. My brother was the same way.
Right.
And I remember, I remember taking your class. In fact, I was with you all 4 years, because not only the year I didn't have your class, I was teacher's aide with
you.
But it was just an enjoyable class. And some of my best memories of high school is in that room. I remember one story that I'll tell that you may have forgotten. It involved a fellow named Eugene Strauss. Eugene, ladies and gentlemen, was an African-American boy, big boy. Did he play football?
Yes.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? I mean, he was a force to be reckoned with. And I never will forget, because on those chairs you had, two people sat at a desk that adjoined. And I remember he sat at one side, and on the other side was little Chrissy Richardson, who was about a fourth of Gene's size, but just as strong. One of the Richardsons were great wrestlers in high school, plus football. But anyway, you had a little thing that you used in your electricity class that showed the circuit, the open and closed circuit. And I remember one day that you were showing us how you could place your fingers on those two whatever, those points, and not get shocked because you completed the circuit correctly.
Right.
And we talked Gene into trying it. Mm. Now, these seats that we sat on, folks, they were stools, and they set up off the ground, I don't know, what, 2.5 feet tall or so. And remember, Gene's a big boy, and somehow we had him talked into trying it. Well, we knew that when he tried it, he was not going to be able to do. I remember you showing him, oh, it don't hurt. Look, look, look. And I remember Gene. He hit that thing, and he did not hit it right, and he came up off of that chair. It shocked him, tickled everybody to death, and I'd never seen Gene move as quick as he moved that day. But those are memories that I have that I wouldn't take anything for. Speaking of drafting, you're teaching, and you're doing football, but you also were doing another outside job that I think you took over from my dad. Didn't you do some house plans for Henry Thompson?
Yes, I did a lot of house plans, not necessarily for Henry. Henry had pretty much gotten out of building by then.
Okay.
But I just did a lot of house plans. Different people came to me.
I think he kind of got out of it when you were getting in or something
that was about the time that your dad had started into the artistic part.
Yeah.
Your dad was a very talented man.
Yeah.
Like you said, to draw the house plans or do mechanical drawing did not take any artistic ability.
Right.
But your dad was phenomenal. I mean,
he could do it. It was just amazing to
watch
him.
He was very
talented. And I will say, his background in draft, because, you know, he first started his professional life with Canoy Engineers, and he had done a lot of that mechanical drawing, Faulkner and Fain, which he owned part of.
Right.
And that helped. But he could go beyond that. He could do much more than just do
that. He certainly could. And I'm like you. I didn't have a whole lot of artistic ability.
But the mechanical you did.
Right.
All right, so you finally retire. Tell me, boy, what you've been doing since then. It's a whole new lifestyle for you.
Exactly. Just something I'd never, ever done before. We bought 35 acres off of Macaulay Road. It's on Macaulay and Harrisburg Road.
Yeah.
And I've had a ball. I didn't know anything. I'd never lived on a farm before in my life.
Really?
Like I told you, I was from Louisville. And I've had started out with a bunch of goats. The ag department, state ag was pushing that at the time, and they were giving you half the money to buy some goats and stuff. But boy, I found out real quick that you couldn't keep them in contained in anything. Not to mention, I had a coyote problem.
Did you just wake up one day and look at Julia and say, "I'm going to raise goats"? I mean, where did that come from?
But we bought the farm, and that seemed to be a way of maybe making it produce a little bit of money.
Okay.
It sounded good on paper, but it didn't work out anyway. And I lost about 20 to coyotes, and then I had a donkey.
Yeah.
I put the donkey in with them, and that stopped it overnight. She protected the goats.
But wow.
Now I've got some cows. They're much easier to raise.
So for the last 20 years, just farmer John.
Right. Well, of course, in 2006 is when I was diagnosed with the lung cancer, so that slowed me down.
Slowed you down. Yeah. Because you haven't stopped. You're still going.
Well, I still try. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you stop, then you're a goner. But I had the lung cancer to begin with, and I had laryngeal cancer. Then I've had a couple of places in my mouth and one on my neck. And
12 years? Has it been that long?
12 years, yeah.
You have battled that for 12 years.
Yeah, but the past three have been really fairly pretty tough because I haven't been able to eat or drink. Everything goes to the feeding tube.
Yeah.
I'm still here, and I enjoy my grandchildren and my children.
And that's your life right now, and it should be.
Right. Very much enjoy living out in the country that I'd never done before.
Hardest question you'll ever have asked of you, I'm going to ask you right now.
All right.
One of these days, we all meet our maker.
Absolutely.
We don't know good thing we don't know when it'll be. We worry ourselves early in the grave. But one of these days, it'll happen to all of us. What do you hope people think of John Herod? What do you think they remember of you? What do you want them to remember about John Herod?
Well, the students, I want them to remember that I was able to help them in some small way. I've got a lot of kids that graduated, it seems like, that went into professions that were very closely related to what I was teaching. And that's extremely rewarding.
Sure. That's why you do it.
Yeah. And, of course, you want to be remembered finally by your daughters and your...
Well, sure.
And your grandchildren.
Sure. I want to say, on behalf of a lot of students, you're going to be remembered well.
Well.
And I have no reason, as you know, I have no reason to blow any smoke at John Herod. I truly mean it. And you have always been one of my absolute favorites. You know that.
Well, thank you.
We've talked about this before, so this is no big surprise to him, folks. You know, when you go through, and we've talked about this on this program, when you go through your school and kids, and I hope my kids realize this one day, they look back and you look back at people that influenced you. And at the time, you don't think about it. We're kids and we're growing up and we've got all this other stuff on our minds. But then you get to be an adult and reality sets in. And you start looking back. And I look back at my high school days, and not to slight any of my teachers, but I look back at people like you and Terry Leach and Janet Gayhart and John Roberts and Susan Bright. I could name a bunch, and I'm not trying to slight anybody. But I will say, and I don't know if I'm the exception of the rule. I don't think I am. In the 12 years of school that I went in this system, I don't ever remember having a bad teacher. And I'll start back in first grade with Virginia Reynolds at Nicholasville Elementary, who taught me to read, going all the way through high school. I was lucky, I guess, but we just had good teachers, and I am so appreciative of it and appreciative of those who are still around and their friendships, such as you. So just know that from this student and many others that we appreciate what you did for us.
Well thank you. We had a staff, especially all the way through my career anyway, but when Frank and I were assistant principal and principals, that was a pretty tough time we went through with that construction project.
Yeah.
At one time, we didn't even have a cafeteria.
Wow.
The kids had to have sack lunches brought out in the middle school. But the kids were really, our students were really good. And we had a faculty that truly cared about the student.
Yeah.
I think our kids got as good an education as you could have probably that you could get. But the teachers that you've talked about, we all truly cared about getting our kids an education.
And there's a whole lot more. And, you know, I can name them from in the middle school. And you can, too. You can go back to the old Jessamine County High and the way and remember teachers that you had. You know, that is one of those jobs that truly can affect people's lives 40, 50, 60 years down the road. We all should strive to affect people's lives that way, but teachers especially. And, you know, kids, us parents, we put our trust with our children, our most prized possession, in the hands of teachers. My daughter, in fact, is going to be starting next year as a teacher. And, you know, she will be responsible for young kids. And it's a very hard job, one I don't think that I could do. So we appreciate all those that do and all the years you gave especially.
Well, thank you.
And I appreciate you coming in and doing this.
Julia, my wife, now, She teaches fourth grade.
So, mm-hmm. Does she still teach?
She still teaches. She didn't start until just maybe a year or two before I retired.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. We made a kind of a pact when we first got married that I was going to do everything I could, work however many jobs it took, so that she could stay home with her girls. So she didn't start teaching until, I think, Emily was in high school. But I think this is going to be her last year.
Yeah, wish her well for us. And thank you for coming in and being a guest on our show.
Well, thank you.
My thanks to John Herod for coming in this morning and sharing more information about his life. He's meant a lot to our community, and I sure do appreciate knowing him and having been a student of his as well. I appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning, too. We'll do it again next week at 11 o'clock. And don't forget, I'm here every weekday morning on my regular radio show from 6 until 8 on Jess FM 105.9.